Yo, what's up, everybody? This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. This is a special in-studio episode. This is with Brennan and Ian from the band Squint. They're based out of St. Louis, where I'm from as well, where I'm based out of as well. And this is also the first St. Louis-based band that I've had on the podcast as well. So very excited to kind of talk a little bit about St. Louis music, talk about some hardcore, talk about, you know, just their experience in the music scene and in St. Louis and beyond, because these guys have toured, you know, all over the U.S. They've toured Europe. So this is very exciting. Really stoked to have them. So if you are based out of St. Louis, you can see my band on September 28th at Platypus with Counterpunch, No Point, and Rum Luck. It's going to be a great night of skate punk and pop punk. And then on the 29th, Squint is actually playing. It's a Monday night at Platypus. They are playing with, give me 2 seconds to pull it up here. I was not prepared. They are playing with Prim, Future Knots, and XLBS, which is, XLBS is Martin from Polterguts and Sawed Off. That's his side project. And then Future Knots is also a side project of Ian of Squints. And Prim, I don't know too much about them. They're from Seattle. So, and they're also on Sunday Drive Records, which Squint is on as well. So, so two nights in a row, you can be at Platypus. You can see some punk rock on Sunday the 28th. And then you can see some hardcore bands on hardcore and hardcore adjacent bands on that Monday the 29th. So if you're in town, come on out. See a show, make some friends, see some old friends, hang out, have a good time. So I am going to cut this off and enjoy this episode with the lads from Squint. All right. I'm here with Brennan and Ian from Squint. How are you guys doing?
What's up? Good.
Great. Good. Thanks so much for coming out here. Yeah, you just got to kind of talk into... This is the first one I've done in the studio for a while, okay. So I'm getting used to it. But this should pick up like everything that you guys say, so you shouldn't have to lean in too much. Thanks you guys for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
This is actually... You guys are the first band since I like restarted... I redid the podcast, so... I used to do like a 314 punk podcast, and then I like switched gears for a little while, and I like wasn't doing a podcast for a while, and now I've like started it up again. So you guys are the first St. Louis band that I've had on podcast since this is like season two.
Sick.
So yeah, thank you. Thanks for joining.
So honored, you know.
So, yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Mike Asatley, one of my former guests on the show, he mentioned you, and he said that you guys are playing, that he's booked a show for you guys up in like near Boston.
Yeah.
So he said he's known you for a really long time. So I was like, I think the universe is telling me that I was already wanting to have you guys on, but I was like, I'm going to follow the signs. The universe is wanting me to have Squint on. So yeah.
No, it's awesome. Yeah. I checked out that episode with Mike today at work.
Hell yeah.
He's a great guy. You know, I've known him, like you said, for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but.
So how did you get to know him? Him being from Boston and having moved to the Bay Area, like and all that.
Mike is like a notorious like tourer, you know. Like he used to be in a band called Bear Trap when I first met him, and they were kind of notorious for like doing full USs with like a 3 month tour. The first month is booked, so let's hit the road. And we'll book the rest while we're on the road kind of thing, you know? So, it's funny, like, you meet, like, people in the most, like, random, like, corners of the scene, you know? Like, the underbellies in the sewers, and they're all like, you know Mike? And it's like, yeah, of course you know Mike, you know? Like, he was just trying to get shows literally anywhere he could, you know? So, Champaign, Illinois, where I grew up.
Okay.
And Springfield, Illinois, where I moved to after that. were both on that list. And, you know, so I booked, I started out seeing Bear Trap in Champaign, Illinois, in like basements and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, 16, just being like, whoa, that was cool, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Mike was like a madman back then, you know? He's still wild, but, you know, he was like just unhinged as like a front man back then. So, and then by the time I had moved to Springfield, I was like more established in a scene. I kind of understood the way things worked, and I was like helping book shows at the Black Sheep Cafe there.
Oh, hell yeah.
So
you probably know Benny DeWitt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, okay.
Benny. Well,
good friend of mine. Yeah. Yeah.
Benny saw a lot of
my whale tattoo.
Awesome. I need to get tattooed by Benny. I've been on like a sick one with the tattoos lately. So
yeah,
Benny's on the list, but I'm like, I'm also trying to be responsible and, you know, but yeah, I was booking at Black Sheep, and so we'd book Bear Trap when they'd come through.
That's awesome.
And then through him, I met like a lot of other like Boston bands and stuff. Like Product of Waste used to come through a lot, which is like kind of a band that's kind of like lost to time now, but they were very like fundamental in like the Springfield scene, and like, you know, like they kind of came through and just like changed the way everyone was like playing music at the time.
Sure.
And, you know,
what was the name of it again?
Product of Waste.
Product of Waste. Okay. I think I've actually heard of that.
Their singer passed away some time ago, and like they play random like shows now, you know, with like a fill-in vocalist, or like a kind of like a karaoke type deal, you know. But it's members of Bear Trap and stuff like that. My buddy Mickey plays in both bands. He's awesome. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I love that. That's part of one of the things that I really love about music is like with my musical journey over the last 5 years, like and I played in bands a lot when I was younger in the early 2000s and stuff, but just really getting back into it, like realizing how connected everyone is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And how it really is kind of like when you, for me, when I've gotten into the musical world and you start to kind of like start booking, really, I really think for me, it's like when I started booking and touring, it's like you start to recognize the people that are in those cities that are like booking stuff, you know, like I know you do a lot of booking here in St. Louis now too. I do as well for like more pop punk and punk bands and stuff. And I know like Jake from Direct Measure does a ton. And I feel like there's always a handful of people like that in every city that are like passionate about like, hey, we need to bring people to town. I need to like, you need a show, I'll book it here. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. So
yeah, it's nice. They're usually pretty easy to find too, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, especially with social media nowadays and stuff like that. It's like I do all the booking for Squint in like stateside.
Sure, sure.
We have someone like overseas who helps us out with all that. But like, and I just do it just pretty much, you know, through a like connections you said from when I was younger and like previous bands, like the amount of shows that Squint gets and like I'm able to, you know, like, get for us through like connections from when I was younger is like probably a greater number than like through current connections. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, sure.
And then also just if that doesn't work, just like cold, you know, like you can just type in to Google now, like, you know, Birmingham hardcore. And you'll find a band, and you just got to message the band, and you just say, hey, I'm looking for a show. If they can't help you, you know, like, they can send you to someone who can. And it's like a, you know, everybody's, for the most part, trying to help each other out and stuff like that.
For sure.
And it's pretty easy to find those, like, people, like you said, those core, like, you know, core men or punk guys, you know, that are, like,
yeah, I mean,
down for the cause. And
for me, I'm a lot of times I'm like, even if my band can't play, even if I can't help, I'll be like, hey, you know, here's the email for Sinkhole or Platypus, and if you don't hear from them in a few days, let me know. I'll ping them and say, hey, these friends of mine are looking for a show, like, you know, they said they emailed you or something like that. And they usually, you know, if I can't straight up like book the show for them, like, I'll try to help in other ways, you know what I mean? Because sometimes I have a habit of wearing myself too thin.
Yeah.
I feel you, bro.
So.
No, I only started booking locally here out of necessity, just out of friends hitting me up and saying, hey, I need a show this day, can you help? And, you know, me being like, yeah, I don't want to bother Jake with it. I don't want to bother, you know, I'll just do it myself, you know. And luckily we have venues like Platypus and Sinkhole that make things so easy
absolutely.
Book shows. So,
yeah, once you have that relationship with the venue, with, you know, like with Danny at Platypus or Matt at Sinkhole or even Josh at Heavy Anchor, like, I feel like once that relationship's there and they know you, because I bet these venues get hit up like all the time. I bet their inbox is just flooded with bands wanting to come to town, you know what I mean? And they don't have time to, like, you're running a bar or venue, you don't have time to sift through every email, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But if they see a message from you or me, they'll be like, oh, hey, Wes hit me up, I wonder what's up. You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I feel like that's just like, and I've recognized that in like other cities too. Like, have you guys played Vino's yet in Little Rock?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dude, I want to play Vino's so bad. We're finally playing there in like 2 weeks.
Sick.
And I had to like, do you know Kurt Lunsford by any chance?
No.
That sounds so familiar.
He's a Little Rock guy. that sounds weird coming out, Little Rock guy. But he's from Little Rock. He's a photographer. He's going to be at Furnace Fest.
Okay.
He's also a podcaster, and he's really like well known in the scene. And when I was kind of asking...
Is he playing any bands?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He does a lot of like... he'll do like full set videos of bands that play at Vino's.
Maybe that's
and like I went to a show, I saw Bayside at Vino's in like 2003, and I've always wanted to play there. And I was asking around, and they were like, you need to hit up Kurt Lunsford, he's like really connected with them. And so I did, and he like booked the show for me, you know what I mean?
Sick,
but I had to ask like three people before I finally got to him, you know what I mean? So but no, I totally agree with you, man. I think it's really cool that you do that.
No, it's, like, you know, when we played Vino's, actually, it was, you know, from a kid I've known from, like, 2012, you know.
Yeah.
Like, from just going to shows and stuff like that.
What did Vino's look like? I'm trying to remember the show.
That was, it was, like, darker. That was the last time we covered Third Eye Blind.
Oh, yeah. I think it was sick. That was, it was literally, like, a year ago. It was, or no, 2 years ago, I guess.
That might have been the last time I played shirtless.
It's definitely hot. It was summertime. Okay. I have pizza there.
Yeah.
It was
just so hot, but usually the self-consciousness sets in, so I'm not full on shirtless. But I remember that one. I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like,
We covered Third Eye Blind. There was like one dude in the back that was probably like our age or a little older, and he was like, yes.
Oh, dude.
Everybody else was just like, what the fuck?
Third Eye Blind self-titled is like one of the best albums.
Oh, it's perfect.
Like, we love it.
I absolutely love that album.
Yeah. We rip them off a lot more than... people probably realize.
They're like, oh, that song structure is cool. Let's do the exact same thing.
Oh no, totally, totally. So I know you got a Soulcraft hat on.
Oh yeah.
Were both you guys in Soulcraft?
No.
Okay. So what's your background? What's both of your backgrounds in bands before Squint? You were La Bella Charade, right?
Yeah. Pop punk band. Did a lot. You know, did a lot of DIY touring with La Bella Charade and recorded and stuff, and then went to. That band kind of dissipated, and then New Lives, which is kind of like my introduction to Brennan and a lot of people outside of, you know, we all worked at the same place too, but we started playing shows together. I think one of New Lives' first show was his hardcore band's release show, Out of Time, which was, they were so sick. And then, from New Lives to Squint, that's just kind of the band trajectory. And New Lives is when we kind of played a lot more hardcore shows.
Okay.
La Bella Charade did not play a lot of hardcore shows at all.
I feel like that time period, there was like a lot more just kind of like like Run for Cover and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was kind of like popping off at the time mm-hmm. and kind of making it more like, you know, acceptable for like the young hardcore kid to be like, I like pop punk. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like they all do. It's just like, it made it like, you know, hey, it's okay for you. Like, you know. And so, like, that kind of wall that was up for many years kind of, like, started to come down right around that time. Because sonically, La Bella Charade wasn't all that different than New Lives, right? Like,
I mean, it was, like, our singer had, like, a very good pop-punk voice, I would say. Like, he was very, like, nasally and, like, very...
Chris Connelly,
He could sing really fucking well. But it was funny because he, like, when you met him, you're like, there's no way this dude is singing. And then he gets up on stage and he's like, what the hell? But
I guess your vocals in New Lives are a little more hardcore leaning. And
And
a little more like Leatherface-y and like.
Yeah. They're, you know, Dave and I, back when I could write in like more minor key, I don't know how anymore, but you know, it was more like Title Fight Worship than anything.
Okay,
like Floral Green type shit with like some shoegaze. But I don't know.
So tell me a little bit about, you guys were talking, you've touched on a little bit, like, that, and I think now that I'm kind of, like, talking to you guys, like, you seem like have more of the hardcore background, more of the melodic, like, pop punk background.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, and I've talked to my buddy Luca about this a lot, too, because, like, there's so many bands out there now, and Squint is one of them that's, like, you've got this, like, melodic, like, pop sensibility with, like, hardcore vocals,
And but it doesn't really strike me as like a hardcore band. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's like blurring the lines between the two. Like yeah. And there's a lot of bands like Anxious and One Step Closer and Koyo that are like you know, they and even a band like Old School Saves the Day. You know what I mean? Like
oh yeah.
Like they like cool. I wouldn't say Can't Slow Down is a hardcore record.
Yeah.
Or like a band like Lifetime. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that that's a hardcore band. That strikes me more as like a pop punk band.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm not a big like hardcore is like I'm a little foreign to like all of this, you know what I mean? I'm more of a pop punk kid. So like what is it that's like classifying some of these bands, like a band like Anxious that is a super to me, that's a pop punk or an emo band. You know what I mean? Like but they're almost like classified as hardcore or like I know a lot of the hardcore fans like them. What do you think it is about that?
I think a lot of it has to do with like upbringing, you know, and like the scene that you like. So, you know, and I mean, I agree with you for the like, you know, to the extent where it's like growing up, I considered like Saves the Day a pop punk band. Same with like Lifetime. But like,
yeah.
I think if you like ask the members of those bands, they like consider themselves or I mean, probably not anymore, you know, at least like Saves the Day, like anything post like Stay What You Are. I think they were kind of something different. But like at the beginning, you know, like. You ever seen that video Saves the Day? They open with 3 Miles Down, and then they go immediately into We Gotta Know by the Cro-Mags.
Kids
are just stage diving like crazy. Yeah, like they used to do stuff like that, you know, all the time. And they toured with like Kid Dynamite and bands that like kind of blur that line between like, you know, yeah, this is like Kid Dynamite's like another band I would consider like almost like pop punk. But it's like, you know. It sounds like Green Day playing like Bad Brains songs. You know what I mean? Like it's so fast that it's like.
That's a good way to put
it. So it's weird. It's like, you know, where do you draw the line? And the more like the older I get, when I was younger and I was first getting involved in like the hardcore scene and like starting my first bands and stuff like that, it was like very important for me to have that hardcore identity. You know what I mean? And be like, this is what I like. Like, you know, that kind of stuff sucks. I don't like that stuff. I don't like that stuff. I don't like that stuff. I like hardcore. I'm a hardcore kid, you know? And as I gotten older, it's like, you start to see that it's like, all the best parts about hardcore are like people pulling from other aspects of things. And I mean, you're starting to see with bands like Turnstile now, where like pop singers are starting to pull from hardcore elements, you know? They're starting to go, oh, these guys have something cool going on here, you know? And Hayley Williams is putting out songs that sound like, you know, Angel Dust and stuff like that. But it's like a lot of, it's just the more you can kind of like pull from each other, like the better things are all going to be. And it like takes kids in hardcore a lot, long time to realize that because you're raised to be like stubborn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
You're raised to like question everything and also just like don't listen to anyone about anything, you know, like the second someone tells you to think something like that person's like your enemy. So it's like when people are like, dude, they're a hardcore band. You're like, fuck you, man. You don't get it, you know? And it's like,
I don't know. For me, it was weird. Like, I just like deviated at one point. Like, I think it had to do a lot with the St. Louis music scene at the time and like the people I was hanging out with. And it's like, you know, I just kind of went the screamo metalcore route versus like the hard. We were always there. We played a lot of shows together. I guess I was in a metalcore band in college called Let Lions. So I forgot about that band. But yeah, I don't know. It was like that's just kind of where I went. But as far as Squint being a hardcore band or not, it's like it's the term thrown around a lot is hardcore adjacent, especially when you're like when you're referring to like what the band sounds like sonically. But yeah, I don't know. Brendan speaks to kind of the ethos behind everything, which transcends like how you sound, I think, really. But
it's just like it's one of the few like genres of music where it's almost like I don't want to say the music takes a backseat, but you know, it's like. It's not like even like the focal point, you know, it's like community is more important than like the music, you know, to the point where it's like when you're facilitating these things, like when I'm giving the mic to kids, you know, and I'm letting them stage dive and I'm letting like, you know, and like it creates that atmosphere where it's like, yeah, we may not be like I'm not delusional. We don't sound like Minor Threat, you know,
we're
like,
sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, what's going on in this room is like energy based. It's hardcore, you know, like it may not be hardcore punk, but it's like hardcore shit going on right now. And like, it's also just like, that's all I've ever known, you know? So it's like, that's what I identify it as, you know. It's when people say that we aren't, like, we make memes all the time that are like,
yeah, I've seen you post them.
When a motherfucker say Squint ain't hardcore. Yeah. But it doesn't like bother us, you know what I mean?
Or anything like that. I wouldn't even call Turnstile a hardcore band, like it for what I think of hardcore being in my mind.
Like capital H, hardcore.
I think of it as just like balls to the wall speed and you know, screaming, and even Turnstile, their new record now, there's like new wave elements and stuff in it. And I think that's cool. Like, because for somebody like me who's not a, I'm not a super, like probably the biggest hardcore band that as heavy as I get is like Comeback Kid, and they're, because I like hooks and I like melody, and they're one of the bands that like is hard, like they put a lot of hooks.
See, that's what I'm drawn to, you know, and that's what I was always drawn to, was just a little more melodic aspects to the music. But I love like aggressive music, because then I'm like, you know, I really liked the Dillinger Escape Plan growing up.
Sure.
You know, and like, but that doesn't fit with anything else. I was listening to like Saves the Day and Dillinger at the same time. It didn't make any sense. But
Now you like go back to that same, you listen to just as, you know, you listen to MJ Linderman and Blacklisted, know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I think like, you know, it's funny, like Squint's not hardcore or whatever. Like, you know, he was joking around, but like I've been that kid before, like it you know, sitting at a show and like the softest band comes on and I'm like, I'm into like Thursday or something at the time, you know? Like, and then I'm just like, man, I'm not into this at all.
Right.
But you grow
right
out of it, you know? Like, you start revisiting things
the
even
amount
from that
of
era.
Shit I would have talked on Squint 10 years ago if I was in the crowd watching it. I would have been like, what the hell, you know? But
what the hell?
But like it's also one of those things where it's like, I'm like, we're totally fine with Squint being like we like being like the catch-all band, you know?
Yeah.
And we like say we play with like we played with Glare recently, and we were like, I don't want to say the hardest band on the show because the Mall played, and you know, we weren't, you know, that's easily the scariest band that was on the show. But you know, the kids that were like, you know, we played with Glare, who's like a shoegaze band, and kids didn't necessarily expect, I don't think, to see like us play that, and there were kids there that hadn't seen us before, I guess is what I'm getting at. And now if they come to a hardcore show, you know, they might be like, whoa, you know, Squint is as hard as I like it, like, turns out, you know.
Sure.
Or they might go like, you know, damn, that was just like dipping my toe in the water, like watching a band like Direct Measure, like Maladjust, and you know, you're like fearing for your life, you're like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm looking for, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that we can be that band for kids, you know.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if like a kid is like, you guys are awesome, and then like a month later I see the same kid and he's got like a buzzed head and like a Cox Bar shirt and he's like, you guys suck. I'd be like, I'm glad I could help you find your way, young one, you know, like. So I'm fine being like the stepping stone band, or like the,
it's nice on shows too, because I feel like we give people a chance to like, not give them a chance, but like make them feel comfortable to come up. When we're, you know, quote unquote, the softest kind of band on a hardcore bill. You know, it's the people that maybe are like not as versed in like, you know, dancing can come up and be themselves, and you know, maybe not have to worry as much about getting hit in the face.
I'm rarely like, you know, like, this is what you do during this part, or what are you doing? Why are you, you know, it's just,
it's like, feel like yourself.
You know, you teach kids how to mosh on stage. You'd be like, side to side, grab a friend, you know? Like,
I mean, for somebody like me who's not a super big heavy music fan, and I really do try sometimes, like, to, like, I'll listen to Knock Loose sometimes, you know, I'll like, if I'm in the right mood. We had this this dude play drum with us, Tim Schriever, shout out. And he was like, yeah, dude, I like to listen to hardcore heavy music when I'm in a good mood. And I'm like, okay, next time I'm in a really good mood, I'm gonna like put on Knock Loose and see how that hits. And I was like, I kind of get this, you know what I mean? Like, it's, for me, like a band like you guys that has like more of that melodic pop sensibility is like way more accessible for me than to go straight from like somebody who doesn't like heavy music at all to like Knock Loose, Knock Loose, you know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty big jump, you know what I mean? And I've had similar experiences where like we just played with, well, it's been a couple months now, but we played with Strung Out and Death by Stereo, and we were the opening band, and both bands came up to us afterwards and they were like, dude, you guys were great. They were like, we've been playing with every band that sounds like us for the whole tour. Every opener has been like four guys who are pissed off just playing like hardcore, and it's kind of nice to have like some catchy melodic hooks. It's like a breath of fresh air, you know what I mean? And I think, I would think you guys probably have similar experiences too, where it's like, you're not just, it's not just the same thing over and over, you know?
I think we still play. Like, that's the thing, is like, it's, it, you know, when I say play, it's like, we give the same energy that any other band on that stage that night would give.
Yeah.
Know? And it's like, it's, you can tell, I think, hopefully that you see we like care about what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and I mean, it's like a different, you know, it's a different energy than the mosh band that's telling you, you know, like, beat your friends and stuff. We're like, you know, I'm still, you know, I want high energy in the room, but like, I don't want anybody to be, I always like the quote, there's I think the singer of Have Heart and Fiddlehead, Pat Flynn, said it.
I love Fiddlehead.
A long time ago, said it, and I heard, like, read it when I was a kid, and I was like, yeah. But it's like, hardcore should be like dangerous, but it shouldn't be violent. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You should like have to watch your back. That's like part of like, and I don't mean that like in an intimidating way, you know, but it's just like, that's part of what makes it so like special, you know? It's like, you know, it's like fully like inclusive, you know, like you're a part of the concert just as much as like the band is, you know?
Yeah.
And like the whole room is like a part of it, not just what's going on stage, you know? And I think we like always try to bring that energy to like every show we play, regardless of like if it's a shoegaze show or what, you know. Sometimes it can be like, oh, this band's kind of like softer, you know, when we're playing with Direct Measure, Maladjust, or it can be like, damn, this band's very aggressive, but I kind of like it, you know.
And yeah,
one thing that's always been cool about Squint too is like, we never really like discussed the sound, you know, like
I was gonna ask you guys about that. That was
No, it's just kind of everybody's just doing like what we do, you know. Like I, like my friend Joel, who used to, he lives up in Minnesota now, he used to live down here, one time he was like, one thing I love about Squint, dude, is you guys like just don't ever start singing, man, because that's what keeps you guys like a hardcore band. And I'm like, well, I don't do that on purpose. I just can't sing, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just, yeah, it kind of took me back a little bit, but it's just, that's how I do vocals, you know? And like, you know, Ian, that's how he writes songs, you know? Same with Dave. They'll program drums a certain way when they're writing the song, and then Will do something completely different because it's, you know.
Sick.
So how did you guys kind of, how did this, how did the band kind of come together?
I was just like a COVID band, kind of.
Yeah.
We met.
I just got over COVID like 2 weeks ago, third time, dude. It was bad this time,
too. I've had it like six times. It sucks.
Yeah.
Probably because I hand the mic out to kids at every show.
Yeah. Yeah, going to shows does not.
Yeah, just like.
I got it at a show.
Yeah, that's like, I think I got it at the Sawed Off show recently. Like, by recently, I mean like a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still going.
Shout out Sawed Off. Thanks a lot, bud. but no, we met. Brendan and I have always worked together, or always, but like a very long time at Caldy's Coffee. So we knew
each other. Shout out Jillian Methvin.
Yeah, shout out Jillian.
I work with her now.
So, yeah.
But not shout out Caldy's. Nobody
likes Caldy's. Wait, is Caldy's still around?
Still beefing.
Yeah.
No, they have a bunch of locations.
Okay, because I know some of them closed, but
yeah.
I haven't seen them around. I haven't been to one in a long time.
Yeah. So. No, they're
enemies of
the punk community.
Yeah. It kind of shut down a little bit, and I don't feel like we had seen each other in a minute, but no. We ran into each other at the farmer's market in Tower Grove, and just talked about music, and I said I had some demos, which were, a couple of them were like New Lives demos, but New Lives had kind of just dissipated. Sent them to him, he recorded them, and recorded vocals over them in a fucking like Lowe's Home Depot parking lot or something. Sent me back. And I was like, yo, this is, even though it was recorded in a Home Depot parking lot, like this rocks, you know? And I sent it to Dave and he's like, yeah, I'm in this. And I was like, okay. And
I got Will, I think.
Yeah, you got Will and of course Jake.
Jake's like attached to me at the hip, basically. Yeah. Jake's been in every band I've been in.
Yeah. Same with Dave outside of my college band. But
actually, this, of course, when I was Straight Edge, the Straight Edge band I was in, Jake was not in, because Jake has never, ever been anything close to Straight Edge. But he was, you know, he was there for it all, but...
Yeah. We just jammed, like, a few songs, set some time up with Gabe. Shout out Gabe at Encapsulated.
Big shout out, Gabe.
Yeah.
recorded an EP, and I remember, honestly, like, not to sound corny or cheesy, but like, I'm a big fan of our music. I think it rocks. And I remember hearing Brennan put vocals over the tracks, like, with Gabe for like the first time, and just thinking, like, this is sick. Like, this is gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I was just so stoked on it. I still am. Like, yeah. Every time the songs truly come alive when he goes and records vocals, because like, we don't do a lot of vocal demos before the studio.
No, because I write until the second.
Yeah, he literally writes until the very last.
I'm like, don't worry, I got stuff. And yeah. I'm just like, I need to write that song.
Yeah. And so then he goes in and does it. And I'm like, yeah, this is cool.
Dude, I love that you said that you're a fan of your own music, because I feel the same way. Like,
yeah.
Why I feel like a lot of bands are afraid to say that.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to be like, oh yeah, I listen to my own stuff all the time. And like, but even if they do, they're maybe denying it, or yeah, you know, or and maybe there's some people out there that like, they don't really care and they don't want to listen to their own stuff. But like, I listen to my own music all the time. Yeah. I want to write music that I like.
Yeah, it's not like, some like narcissistic shit. It's
no, just
like,
no. Yo,
like, I think,
and I'm proud of it.
I always like, thought it'd be cool to like have like a dumb superpower where it's like you go back and like listen to shit you made and like have a completely unbiased opinion of it. And like,
oh, that would be nice.
You know, just like see yourself react to like something you made, but not have know you had anything to do with it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's cool.
Because it always feels a little bit like, you know, whenever I write a demo or like even our album, like I was telling our bass player this, like it doesn't really feel like, it still feels, and until it's out in the world and released, it doesn't feel like a real thing to me. It still feels like I made it, and it's not like, you can't see how other people are responding to it,
yeah,
if they like it and stuff like that. And then when it's out in the world and it's released, it's like, you can kind of see that. You can, I always look at it in a different light once it's like out, because yeah, I'm like, okay, this isn't just songs on like in my like Dropbox or Google Drive or whatever. This is like an actual real thing now, and it feels real. But up until then, it still feels like it's just like, to me, it just feels like it's a demo or something.
Yeah,
you know
yeah
what I mean.
Yeah.
But then once it's out, it's like, okay, this is a real thing. And then especially when you get like a record, it's like, oh, okay, this is like really a real thing now.
Yeah.
That's like that people have and they're playing it on their, you know, it's crazy. It's
yeah,
it's really wild.
I always feel like a sense of relief when something's recorded, just because it's like I was starting to say earlier, I like tinker with things constantly until the last, up to the last second.
Sure.
Sometimes to the point where like the record we're about to put out in a couple months, I had sent the guy recording us, he's like, send me your lyrics so I can read along and I can like talk back to you and be like, all right, hit that line again and I can tell you the line, instead of just being like, whatever it is you said right there, you know, about blah, 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 blah. And so I'd send him the lyrics and I was even in the booth just like changing tiny things, and he was like, hey, I noticed the lyric you have down there is like, don't want to stoop to that height, but you said don't want to stoop to your height or something. And I was like, yeah, I just felt like that was dumb. And he was like, no, just do what you sent me, man. Come on. Like, I was like, commit to it, basically, you know. And I was like, he's right, you know. And I get that feeling like when it's finally recorded, that sense of like relief where it's just like,
sure,
there's no more tinkering with it. Now it's not like, it's obviously still like a piece of art, but it's not like an art in progress. It's done. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
So I can just like put a pin in it. And even if I like, there's, you know, there's songs I've written in every band that I've been in that I'm like, God, I wish I would have done that differently or something like that. But I don't like lose sleep over it. It's just the song now. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm good personally at like separating myself from that and just being like, well, that's it now. That's in the past, you know, like
yeah,
on to the next one, you know, and like, hopefully I do the next one better, you know, like even if I feel like I did good on the last one, it's still just like, you always want to do better on the next, you know, kind of thing.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's kind of what I was saying, is like how it still feels like a work in progress to me. It like, until it's out, even yeah, if it's just sitting in my Dropbox,
or even if it's like mastered, like, you're still like, oh, I could, you know, like you're thinking about messaging the producer and being like, hey dude, I know you're going to hate me for my like,
no, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about doing that to Gabe for real, but I'm not going to.
I feel like we're pretty bad about that with producers sometimes, just going back and forth and him being like, all right, this is the fourth, you know, bounce. Are you happy with
dude,
it?
With Trevor from A Wilhelm Scream mixed our record that's coming out soon. And I felt bad because we just kept asking him like over and over, can you change this? Can you change this? Oh. Can you change this? And, like,
you know everything so much better than anyone else is going to know. So it's like, you just know it.
But
like,
then it ends up perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. It's like, and I mean, there's still some things that like, even our latest song that we put out, I was like, oh, I would have changed that guitar line. I would have went higher right here. It's always like after it's out, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's that perception thing of like that, or even on our older songs, I'm like, I would have changed the vocal melody a little bit here. You know what I mean?
When you record a demo, you know, after you say you've gotten it to a point where you think it's pretty much done, you probably reopen it and change some shit like a couple days later.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And so it's like, that's the thing is like, especially when you record at home, which I do all the time, like I'm constantly revisiting stuff and I'm constantly trying different ways on things. And it's just like, you know, it just never ends. And so it's like, I have to like separate my mind when I'm getting like mixes and think, you know what, like I shouldn't be trying to get Gabe to crunch the drums, put distortion on them, pan them in the left ear, put this track over here, fade something else in. Like, that's all production shit that, you know, like, I would do at home if I had it, but it's just, like, out of control when you still are in that mindset bouncing something off someone that is, you know, on the clock and, like, probably has other projects they want to move on to.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially Gabe.
I mean, yeah. He puts up with those. He's rad, man.
So what do you guys, you know, I've seen the St. Louis music scene kind of like, I was not involved for a really long time there, kind of in the middle for like 7 or 8 years. But like, you know, I remember the early 2000s when things were really like going well. And we like, I feel like St. Louis music, it like many things, like it comes in waves.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're definitely in like a peak right now instead of a valley. Like, what do you guys think? And I mean, you guys are, I think, are a little bit younger than me, so your perspective is a little bit different. And you're probably involved in during times where I wasn't. So, like, what do you think is really attributed to the music scene now, especially hardcore, having it be such a thriving time for us here?
I think the hardcore aspect of it is like it's on like a national and even international level right now. For whatever reason, just like the younger generation just like really has latched onto it, you know, in a lot of like really good ways, you know, like hardcore is in like such a less toxic place than it was when I was younger, you know, like it was so much more like openly like misogynistic and like, you know, like just you just see a lot more like representation in bands and stuff like that now. And also just like kids, you know, like sticking up for like what's right, you know, and like, you know, like not letting bullshit slide. Like back in the day, you know, it'd just be like a kid would get the tar beat out of them. And if it was done by someone who was deemed cool, then it was fine. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. And now it's kind of like everybody looks out for each other a little bit more. Everybody's a little more like, you know, inclusive as opposed to, it used to be very exclusive, which like, you know, in St. Louis, especially when I first started coming around to shows like 2010, 2000, you know, like, yeah, 2010, 2011, probably. I started playing in a band in St. Louis in 2012. So that kind of changed my perspective on things a little bit because I was like accepted kind of finally, you know what I mean? I was like in a band with cool people finally. But prior to that, you know, it was like you were really able to see like, you know, like without going into too much detail, just like, there's a lot of violence going on at shows back then, you know, a lot of like affiliated, like gang level violence, you know, to the point where like kids didn't want to come to shows anymore and it was hard to blame them, you know, and it sucks because a lot of that crowd that was participating in that and like perpetuating that violence was like older dudes, you know, who not even like a year later would drop out or like go to prison or like, you know, just like grow up and quit coming to hardcore shows. And it's like, the damage that was done during that time period, you know, took such a long time to repair. Mm. And like St. Louis had such a bad reputation for such a long time. Between that and like also just like the rep our city gets in general, you know, like bands didn't want to come through because they were scared they were going to get robbed.
Yeah. I haven't heard about a lot of that happening lately.
From what I understand, that general, it was going on for several years, you know, in the downtown area. Apparently it was kind of like a ring of people in charge of it, and they were busted, you know, for something unrelated. But when they found one of the houses that had all the, you know, it was like millions of dollars of like gear, you know, and it was like, oh, this is where all these have gone, you know. Don't quote me on that. That's just what I've heard.
No, that's, it's been a long time. I mean, it's been like pre-COVID on that. Like, I haven't heard of any break-ins in St. Louis in a while.
But like, as far as the stuff that St. Louis itself has like control over, there's people, you know, like Jake and like Tyler and like all the people that are booking these like hardcore shows, and like yourself, you know, and me and stuff that are booking adjacent stuff and stuff like that. Just that kind of like inviting nature, like we were talking about earlier, you know, like that fact that you and I are like have that mentality of like, we're gonna, you know, regardless of what genre you play or anything like that, like we'll help you, we'll do everything in our ability to like help find you a show. And for a long time, it was not like that here, you know, because people weren't booking and because, you know, like there was no one to hit up, and also because no one was trying to help you, you know. So I guess that's like the partially to credit for the uptick, you know. But
I feel like a big part of it for me, going back to it again, was like when I started touring, I was like, I was just thinking about this earlier today, like when I go to a city, I would want someone there. I think about this, and there's nuance to this, but like I would want, like, treat other people how you'd want to be treated. That's kind of like my mentality, or what I've always been taught. But I have a little bit of nuance to that, but I won't go into it. But it's like, if I was to go to like Boston, I would want somebody there to, like Micah Satley, to book the show for me, find good local. I don't know anybody in Boston but him, you know? Like, book the show for me, find some good locals, like, you know, promote it, try to get some people out. Like, that's what I would want when I'm a touring band. And like, when we started touring, that's what I realized. I was like, man, I'm really starting to see like the importance of like local support, having good locals on it, how important the night of the week is, like the understanding the landscape of the scene in like every town that you go to, and like really kind of researching that and understanding like, okay, you know, if we go to Detroit, like who are the bands that are kind of like us that would bring a little bit of a crowd, you know? And I'm not asking for like 100 people or anything, like,
no,
you know, but like who would bring a little bit of a crowd. And so I want to be that person for other bands that are like me that want to come here. Like when a band like Tired Radio, who's one of my favorite bands, when they come here, I want them to have a good show. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you're like, you want to be proud of your community too, and like your scene, and like, and when you go on the road, like, you know, it's, you're kind of like flying the flag for your place where you're from.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you like, you want to be able to, when those people do come through, be like, see, we're awesome, you know? I don't know. I started tour. I guess I never really went through my like previous bands thing earlier. We kind of like skipped past it and stuff, but like, from like my first band, you know, like when I made, like when I was 16, I started a band living in Illinois, a hardcore punk band called Commodity. And we, you know, I was like touring by the time I was like 17. It wasn't like anything over the top, you know, but it was like, I met this guy on a message board, a hardcore message, Midwest hardcore message board. He lives in Iowa. He said he can book us here on Saturday, so all we gotta do is find a show for Friday, and like, you know, and then Sunday, you know, having three shows in a row was inconceivable because we had to get back for school, you know.
sure.
It was a lot of stuff like that, you know, but it was like, it instilled, you know, like a lot of like the DIY ethics, and also just like you said, like going up and being like, you know, man, they made this really easy for me, like how can I make this really easy for other people, you know? So then I was like, you know, putting my crappy band in high school on local shows and booking bands that were coming through and stuff like that. And like a lot of the connections that Squint has nowadays and stuff are shows that I booked when I was 16 years old and, you know, had the band sleep in my mom's basement, and I went to school the next morning and my mom let him out after making him cereal, you know?
Yeah. But dude, that's dope, because you see, like, you know, from the time you were 16 or 17 to now, and how those connections, I'm a huge, like, I used to run a business where I did like networking and help people find jobs, like as a recruiter. And that's what I do now as a job, is I'm a recruiter. But like, I was all about networking, and I'm like, it's all about who, you know what I mean? And I've heard so many stories about people who've gotten jobs because they knew somebody who knew somebody at this company, or it's like, you know, even where I work now, like if you know somebody that's there, that works there, it's way easier to get an interview or get your resume looked at than just somebody who doesn't know anybody there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's very similar in music. It's like I see so many similarities to, you know, just like that Little Rock story. It's like, if you don't know anybody, I'm just emailing this venue and, you know, and trying to break through somehow. And like, it happened, you know what I mean? But to your point, what I was saying is like, now over time, like your network just has grown, you know, to the point where it's like, you probably know people all over the world, but yeah, definitely all over the United States. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes touring a lot easier now, you know? And yeah, it's cool. It instills, you know, like hardcore and punk in general, like it instills so much in you, like the understanding that you're like, I can do these things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can also like take, you were talking about like, you know, helping people find jobs and stuff like that. Like I said, I was booking shows when I was like 16 years old. So when I was 19 and I applied to be a bank teller, they're like, you were an event coordinator? And I was like, yes, I was, you know? And
absolutely.
I had paperwork to back it up, you know? And I got the job because I like, you know, I didn't lie about my background, but I manipulated things into, sure, you know, like working in my favor and stuff that.
And it's bands were on all our resumes, like, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Like, oh, sure, absolutely, man.
Bands were on the resumes.
Kids got to realize that, though, you know, that like, you know, the like, it doesn't just end with the touring, you know, and like, it doesn't, sure, end with like the, like, you can really like, if you have the, like, the confidence that you learn through like punk music, you know, you can like apply to every aspect of your
absolutely
life.
Absolutely.
And like, you know.
Absolutely, man. I think that I have been seeing this a lot just in my own life with music. But it was like when we did our very first Weekender, it was kind of like what you said. Like, we did a show here on Friday. We did a show in Wichita on Saturday. The band we were with was from Wichita. And then we did...
Oh, shout out Wichita.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
Dude, Wichita's sick.
Wichita's cool. Wichita's cool. And then we did like a show in Lawrence, Kansas on Sunday. You know what I mean? And I remember thinking like our very first Weekender that we did was just like we did Kansas City and then on Friday and we did St. Louis on Saturday night. And I remember after we did that very first one, I was like, okay, well, that wasn't very hard. Like, you know, I think we could do 3. And then it was like, I think, okay, we could do 4. And then we could do 5. And it's like, okay, now I think we could go out for a week and make this happen. And then we started like flying out, just like the logistics of it. We're like, okay, well, I think we could make it all the way out to Denver and then we'll like hop a flight on Frontier Airlines and fly home for $60 a pop. You know what I mean? You can do those things. And I think, you know, for younger bands that are listening, I think some bands want to do it, but they either don't know how or they don't believe that they can. They don't have that confidence yet that they can. And it's like, man, just try to do like one out of town show and then you'll see that like,
yeah,
it's really not that hard, and then you just string them all together. You know what I mean?
Progressive overload. You know, you just keep it pushing and just keep, you know,
yeah,
just tiny bit at a time, and then before you know it, you know, you're jacked. You know,
for sure.
Up the weights a little bit, and then before you know,
for sure, man. And
Schwarzenegger.
And it takes a minute, and I don't know if you guys have seen this too, but like for us, like for my band, it's taken a minute to like, you know, the first time you go somewhere, you can't expect there to be 100 people. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe you might get lucky and there might be you might hit it.
Brother,
awesome,
I expect 20 or less every single night.
Dude, absolutely.
Like, and it's like, it's not that rare, very rarely happens, but like, that's just like something you get used to.
Yeah.
Like,
Social media though and shit and everything like that obviously has like, it's just like manipulated the way you think of things, you know? And so it's sure, like, yeah, it's like, to any kids that listen to this, don't like think that like, you know, you're a failure because you're playing to like 30 kids, because that when in 2012 that was a stellar show.
Oh, absolutely,
when I was
right
on tour, you know,
absolutely.
I've played so many shows to just sound guys and bartenders
and your merch guy. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's also like you gotta plant a seed, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and you gotta go back, you gotta water it, you know,
absolutely.
And before you know it, like.
That dude, absolutely. And I feel like it's usually like the third or fourth time now, like, you know, Kansas City, Chicago, Nashville, for us, we've been to those places like 4 or 5 times. And it was really after like the third time that people started coming up to us and they were like, oh yeah, I saw you guys last time you were here. And like, now every time we go, people are like, oh, I saw you when you came and you played at Minibar. I saw you that one time at Vivo, you know.
And now I brought a friend, you know.
Yeah, and now I brought a friend, and like, and there's more people at the shows, and it's like, it's really a weird feeling at first because it's like, oh,
yeah,
like for the most part, we're like at the mercy of whatever local bands are playing that night and hoping that they bring people.
Yeah.
But it starts to get to a point where you're like, oh my God, a lot of, like, well, last time we went to Philadelphia, it was like, I think most of the people in this room are here to see us play. Yeah. It's also like, yeah, people knew the words and stuff, and I was like, holy shit, this is kind of crazy.
That's, you know? I mean, there is like a way to do that too, I guess, without like having to necessarily travel, but it's all just luck, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, and I mean, I mean, you got to write good songs, obviously, and stuff like that, but like, you know.
I think sometimes, like, you don't understand, like, what playing a show in the middle of nowhere might get you in, like, yeah, down the line. Just because we got on Furnace Fest an email, you know, like, that was it. And I can't help but think they saw that we played Birmingham in the last year or
two. Sure, sure.
And that show was to five people. Like, it was literally not, five people. It was literally five people. A cool area, cool people. Like, every, you know, the people that were there were into it and having a good time. But, like, it was to nobody. And I think, honestly, that has to do probably with why we got picked out of 1,000 emails that were blindly sent by bands, you know?
It's also, like, you know, like, when you're getting yourself out there and you're putting yourself out there, like, that's what people see, you know? It's not like, you know, like, I mean, you know, like, stuff like a booking agent and stuff like that shouldn't, like, be your goal as, like, a musician. But, like, those things exist and they make your life easier to an extent, you know? I mean, it can be, like, a double-edged sword, obviously, but that's a whole different conversation. But, where was I going with this? Oh, just that, like, when they're looking at your page and stuff like that, they're not looking and going, oh, they're playing Birmingham. Oh, wait, the only five people came out.
Right,
they're
right.
Just looking at the flyer and going, wow, they're going to Birmingham, they're going to blah, 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 they're going to, you know, they see that you're getting out there and you're making yourself available. And, you know, that's what, like, it sucks to think about, but when it boils down at the end of the day, like, record labels, booking agents, all these kind of people are someone that is, like, going to work with you because, not necessarily because they'll make money off of you, but they're not going to, like, work with you to, like, not make money. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Like, if they don't think it's going to get some kind of return.
And if you're not putting in the same amount of work they are, you know, like, sure. I don't, like Sunday Drive, maybe not the best example because we started working with them because of prior, Ian knew them prior. Like, we were signed to Sunday Drive technically before we even had music out, you know, but sure, like, sure. But it helps, you know, when they see that we're constantly hitting the road.
Yeah,
and we're out there pushing this record. And, like, also, we sell a lot of vinyl on tour compared to, like, online, you know? Like, I mean, it's not that... I guess I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but, like just compared to a lot of other bands that maybe don't tour and only their music is, like, available online or whatever, like, when we hit up Jonathan to be like, yo, I think we need a repress, you know, he'll be like, damn, you all went through all those already, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, you know, if both sides are, you know, going out there and, you know,
absolutely
selling the goods, then
absolutely, man. I totally agree. I mean, once we toured before we had vinyl, but, like, once we had vinyl, I started to see, like, oh, holy shit, we sold, like, 10 records on this, like, you know, just this one show. I think there's something about being on the road and somebody seeing you play and being like, I need to get that record. You know what I mean? And you're almost like a traveling record and t-shirt salesman in a way. No, it's like, without a doubt. Like, you know, it really is weird. And I totally agree with what you're saying, though, man. Like, when we just signed with a new label and that was, like, you know, one of their questions was like, how many records have you guys sold and how much have you toured? And it's like in the contract that, like, they want us to do a certain amount of shows. And it's like, it's not a diehard thing and it's not even that many shows, but it's like they want to see that you're out there getting in front of people, selling records.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sell way more even in St. Louis than, yeah, I kind of thought, well, once our record's out, like, people are going to be on our web store just buying it. And I'm like, no, you still have to go play the shows people want to buy it there more than they do online.
Yeah, it's a lot more like kind of spur of the moment sales, I feel like. And I mean, like, with all the merch that we have sometimes, I definitely feel like I'm a merch salesman before I'm like, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's such a big part of the game, you know? Though, you know what I mean?
That's how you make money, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Again, any kids listening, you know, it's like,
And by make money, we mean you don't make any money.
No, but like,
there's no money to be made.
I wish people understood. I hope everybody like hears this at some point and understands that if you do not have merch, don't tour. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
There's no point. Right. Like, you're not gonna make jack off the door. You know what I mean? Like, you'll maybe make enough to cover like gas or anything. But if you actually want to like generate revenue as a band or anything like that, like even if you're like a brand new band, just get like one T-shirt. Get a cassette tape.
Absolutely.
Get something that you can have at that merch table and that people can walk away with, you know, and remember by, you know.
There's been so many times where we made like $50 from the door, but we made like $200 from merch.
Yeah, you know what I mean? All right, like, well, you know. And those middle of nowhere shows that like we kind of talked about and stuff where it's like, you know, like no diss to Wichita at all. Like we just said we love Wichita. But, you know, it gets the rep that like a lot of like Champaign did where I was growing up. But a lot of times when you play those, like, quote-unquote smaller towns, it's like you get the entire town there because that's what's going on that night.
Right.
You know? It's not New York City where it's like I could go to 10 rap concerts in this neighborhood, or I could go to 10 jazz concerts in the same neighborhood, or I could go to this one hardcore, you know what I mean?
Or California where it's like you in L.A. where it's like, there's a million other skate punk shows happening like all throughout.
We did an LA tour for four days.
This one show. There's this one show, and every kid in this room has been waiting all week in their high school classroom for it. You know, like
right.
And like those are the shows sometimes where you're like, man, I can't believe we just played, you know, like Mahomet, Illinois, and we just made $700 off merch.
Yeah.
You know, because
is that one of the reasons why you feel like Springfield, Illinois is doing so well? Is like, it's just that right size market?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been kind of like that. Like I said, when I was younger, I moved there after high school because that's where the hardcore scene was. And we were booking out of Black Sheep there, which for anyone like unaware, like for anyone who knows what Dumb Records is now, it's just Black Sheep was just like the father of that. Like the room looked almost identical, you know, like down to like the bars along the wall, you know, that you can like jump off of and stuff. And like, you know, I mean, it's done on purpose. Brian, who owns Dumb, is like one of the original like Black Sheep kids, you know. He's probably 6 years older than me, maybe a little bit less, but he grew up in Springfield, you know. And it's like by the time I was coming around and booking at Black Sheep and stuff, he was almost like an older guy, you know, and like very established. And he also came a lot more from like the ska world as opposed to the hardcore world. So, but yeah, like Springfield has always just had like a really thriving hardcore and like specifically like straight edge hardcore scene.
Sure.
And I think, yeah, a lot of it has to do with just nothing else to do. And also just like previous generations kind of like,
you know? That's kind of like what's the word? Like the history of it, or I'm looking for a better word, but I can't.
It's very much like a each one teach one.
The lore, yeah,
like
that.
Like even like that high school band I said I was in, Commodity, Drew, who sings in Prevention, has told me that was his first hardcore show.
Oh, that's sick.
Commodity at Black Sheep. You know?
That's awesome.
And it's cool, yeah, that it's like it, you know, because now I don't know how I feel about this now that I'm thinking about it out loud, but Prevention are almost like the older people in that scene. They have, you know, 14, 15 year old kids coming out who are starting bands and stuff like that.
Isn't that band No Guard? Are they from? They're from Springfield, right? And they're kind of blowing up.
Jack
is
17.
Right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Jack's,
they just did like a full U.S. and it was like his graduation present.
That's amazing.
Like
that's
they awesome. Let him do it.
That's so cool.
It's nuts.
That's
yeah.
sick. Well, dudes, this was awesome. I know we're at the hour mark. I wanted to keep it just at 40 minutes, but I could literally talk and ask you guys questions for like another hour, but you'll just have to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe bring Dave or Will or somebody, the other guy, Jake.
Jake? Oh,
yeah.
Maybe the other guy. Let's just keep it at that.
Yeah. Jake's talkative. We're bringing him next.
We'll mix it up next time, but yeah, I would love to have you guys back on. What do you guys have coming up soon? Like, show you have a tour. You're going to New York, right?
Yeah. So kind of like an East Coast.
We're playing Banging the Rock first in Little Rock.
Oh yeah, that's not
okay.
Taken.
Yeah. Wait, is that a Vino? No, it's not a Vino,
no.
right?
No, it's. I don't know. I forget what the venue's called, but it's like a larger kind of venue there. It's like their big like festival.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
We're playing the same day as Killing Time, which is one of my favorite. All-time favorite bands, period. So I'm very excited about that. And then we come home, we play Platypus with Prim.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, I'm playing the night before.
Oh, right.
Yeah, at Platypus too. Yeah, so we're doing a little.
I was supposed to have another show that weekend.
I already mentioned it on the intro. I already recorded the intro here. So, okay. Shout out to your show and our show. Yeah. Do a little double pop punk on Sunday and hardcore on Monday.
Yeah. Just stay at Platypus.
Daniel set up a little bunks for you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean.
But then we're hitting the road with our friend Spaced, who we just toured over in Europe with them.
Hell yeah.
We've got just a couple shows with them on the way to Furnace Fest.
Okay.
And then from Furnace Fest to New York, we are touring with Prim.
Okay.
Who will be playing here. And then we end it all in New York, Brooklyn, at the Sunday Drive Showcase.
That's awesome.
Tons of our friends are coming in.
Where's it at in Brooklyn?
The Market Hotel.
Okay, I don't know that.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with it either, but I've heard good things. And our previous tour mates, last time we were in Europe, last fall, from Belgium, they're called Fever Child.
Okay.
They're coming over to the U.S. for the first time.
Oh, sick.
For the New York show. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's going to be
I love that.
Exciting, too.
Dude, I love that. I love whenever you have little fests and it's like
all
your friends. Where's that New York? There's a New York poster over there, Music Fest here, and it was like... two or three of the bands that we had toured with previously like played it as well, so it was just like a family reunion. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like the best. It's I'm like a social. I'm a very like extrovert. You know, so like for me it was just like hugging people all day, like you know, catching up, and it's like you're meeting new people. You're meeting people that like you also know of, but you haven't met them in person, and it's like it's the best. So
yeah,
it'll be their first time in the United States, so I'm excited. They're like, will you take us to Taco Bell and let us shoot guns? And I was like, oh, yeah, I got you guys. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Brennan, thank you, man. Ian,
yep.
Always great to see you.
Yeah.
We'll have you guys on again sometime soon. I will try to make it out on Monday. I'm playing the night before, and then we're going on tour, like, on that Thursday, so I might be
late
a little
bit. At the same
low.
Time, we'll race you to
We'll see you on the highway.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I guess we should mention too, we do have like a new record coming out, and
we haven't announced the date yet. I don't know if we have a date, but yeah, it'll be in the next couple months.
Okay.
It's gonna be an EP.
Before the end of the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Single will be out next month. Like when we're on tour, the single comes out. And then I think early November is when the record comes out.
Okay.
Hopefully, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'll get my pre-order in.
Yeah. Sunday Drive Records.
Hell yeah. Awesome. See you guys.
See you.